Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness, Pujya Swami Chidananda Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India. Giving and giving and giving and serving as our Dharma. And so he says, well, what if the person you're serving is taking advantage of you? Then what? Well, there's two pieces to that. The first piece is, that's their karma. What you are doing is your karma. What they are doing is their karma. You have to answer for your karma. They have to answer for their karma. We are not here responsible for someone else's karma. So it's not about, well, you're taking advantage of me, therefore I'm going to teach you a lesson. Right, how many of us think, Mesikongi, Mesikadunga, Medakadunga, I will show them. Well, that's not our job. We're not here in charge of someone else's karma. We're here in charge of our own. And our karma, our actions, are meant to be in service of our Dharma. It's a beautiful, beautiful little mantra Pujya Swamiji gave me right in the very, very beginning when I first came. He said, here's the way to live. Engage yourself in karma, in action, under the shade of Dharma, with an awareness of Brahma. Engage yourself in karma under the shade of Dharma with the awareness of Brahma, of God. So keep doing your actions. Keep acting, keep acting. At that point, I had not yet read the Bhagavad Gita. So I didn't know that Bhagwan Krishna makes it so clear in the Gita that in fact we can't not act. We're always acting. The only choice we have is that action conscious or is it unconscious? Is it karma yoga or is it unconscious action? I remember growing up in California, you'd hear a lot of people say, I'm not a human doing, I'm a human being. I need to do less and be more. And of course, what that meant was, I need to work less and lie on the beach more. I need to work less and drink tea or piña coladas or whatever it was more. Now, what the spiritual teaching is you're always acting, you're always doing. Lying on a beach is doing. Sipping a piña colada is doing. You're always doing. The question is, how can you be while you are doing? Meaning, how can that which I am doing be done so consciously, with such awareness, that I am doing, but I'm being. It's like that beautiful line in our prayers here in the morning. Mukhome ho Ram Nam, Ram Seva Hatme. God's work is in your hands, but your lips are chanting God's name. I am being while doing. I am doing, but I'm doing consciously. So you have to keep acting. Engage yourself in karma always. Not 9 to 5. Not 5 days a week, 6 days a week. Not every day, but you're off. Engage yourself in karma, but under the shade of Dharma. So the first piece is we are always acting, always serving. That's what karma yoga is it's when action becomes yoga. When that action is under this shade of Dharma, it's according to my Dharma, and it's bringing me closer to true yoga, true union. And it's arising out of yoga, out of an awareness of our oneness. So as I serve, it has to be under this shade of my Dharma. Now we've got universal Dharma, which is be kind, be generous, be compassionate. But then we've also got individual Dharma. And this is where that being taken advantage of piece comes in. Because if someone is taking advantage of you, on the karmic level, that's not my responsibility. That's theirs. I'm serving. People take advantage of me, they've got to answer for that. I only answer for the fact that I am serving in alignment with Dharma. However, in my individual Dharma, I have to realize that I did not come onto earth with fulfill someone else's agenda stamped on my rear end. That's not actually why we each take birth. It's not, oh, you want me to do this? Okay, I guess that's my Dharma. Oh, you don't want to have to face your own issues, your own fears, your own challenges, and so you're going to have me keep dancing, doing whatever you want, however you want it, whenever you want it, just so that you don't have to face your own internal lack of peace. Well, that's not your Dharma. Our Dharma is not to prevent others from having to do their work. And sometimes, simply dancing according to everyone's tune is actually that which is protecting them. We think we're protecting them, when really we're simply preventing them from doing the work that they need to do. If I can make you do based on the number of people you've scared into doing your bidding, it's not, oh, everyone does what she says so she doesn't have a fit. Great, give this one enlightenment. So you've got to find that space within you. And there's no proper equation. You'll know. What are you doing that is really karma yoga? And what are you doing that's simply preventing someone else from actually experiencing what they are supposed to experience? I mean, we deal with this a lot with parents, with adult children who just don't want to get a job, who just, you know, are really happy to live at home and let mom and dad take care of them well into, you know, forget their 20s, well into their 30s as they sort of figure out what they want to do with life. Now, on the one hand, you could say, well, that's really loving of the parents to, you know, keep supporting them. It's beautiful. Generous, loving, caring, karma yoga. But on the other hand, you'd say, you know what? At some point, this kid really needs to take responsibility for their life. They really need to figure out how they're going to be a contributing member to society. And you continuing to simply provide everything for them is preventing that from happening. So that's where we have to figure out, where am I helping, serving, and where am I simply enabling someone else's dysfunction? So engage yourself in karma under that shade of dharma with the awareness of Brahma. That whatever we're doing, the awareness that I'm not the doer, I'm just an instrument. Nimitta matram. I'm just this instrument in God's hands. And I'm so blessed to be able to be used by the divine as that instrument. So if you take that as your mantra, it'll help you figure out where to draw the line. Because spirituality doesn't mean you become a doormat. Giving and giving and serving and serving doesn't mean you leave yourself out of the picture. When we say serve, serve all, well, surely you are in that all. Have compassion for all. Well, surely you are in that all. But we forget that. So bring you back into the equation. The divine you. The you with the awareness of Brahma. And then the right way to move will arise. You'll feel it. You'll know it.
You're listening to OTRFM. Part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Aliyah, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me. When you heard the motivational speaker say, don't take your life too seriously, I hope, I assume, that what he or she was referring to is the ego, the story, the drama. We don't want to take that very seriously. Take your psychology lightly. Take your story, your identity, your personality lightly. Take your desires, your attachments, your neuroses, take them lightly. Right? They're just aspects of the particular role that we are playing in this particular act of our karmic journey. But take this life very seriously. And the reason is this life has been given to you for you to wake up, for you to experience the divine truth of who you are. The ultimate goal of moksha, freedom, liberation, is that which, if we don't dedicate our lives to, don't think that just by losing the body you're going to get it. It's not the body that keeps you from enlightenment. It's the mind. So take your life very seriously, as in, am I using every minute, every moment as an opportunity to surrender more, to be less stuck with my ego, less stuck with my story, less stuck with my way of identifying, less stuck with my psychic dramas, and more focused on using that minute and moment to actually connect through karma action, through love and devotion, through wisdom and insight, with the truth of who I am. Because if you don't, you're just going to have to come back and do it all over again. I mean, at some point, you're going to have to take your life seriously. If you don't do it this time, all right, you'll do it next time. But at some point, if ultimately your goal is to attain moksha, at some point you will have to put the mind to it. Take it seriously. So I assume that that's what they meant. Now, as you say, you have others saying, well, if you don't take it seriously, you won't succeed. Which is true. But the question that it begs is, what's our definition of success? Because most people's definition of success is all about the superficial story. I should be the one to have more money, more power, more things. While spiritually, I'm essentially sinking. I mean, it's that metaphoric equivalent, right, of, what do they say, arranging the deck furniture on the Titanic, right, or repainting it or bedecking it with all sorts of gold and jewels. Well, the thing is sinking. And if we don't actually put our attention on, metaphorically, the boat itself, me, who I am, and all I'm doing is focusing on this superficial success, I'm literally just making sure that the deck furniture looks really nice as the boat of my life sinks. So you've got to ask yourself, what's your definition of success? Is it just having more? Is it just better arranged? My deck furniture is bigger than your deck furniture. I've got more deck furniture than you have. Situation? Or are you able to look at success as something on a much deeper and more permanent level? Which is that awareness. that experiential awareness, that knowing, that connection, that drop merging into the ocean. That's success. There used to live a beautiful, amazing saint right across Ganga from us named Swami Dayananji Maharaj, who has since left his body. But he used to say, and I still hold on to it very dearly, he used to say, the only definition of success that matters is how you respond to the inevitable times that the universe does not act the way you think it should. And I love that, because when the universe does not act the way we want it to, when we are in crisis mode, panic mode, mode of loss, mode of failure, mode of house is burning, you can't at that time suddenly try to teach yourself how to be a spiritual person. You have to have had that in you. Those are moments where our subconscious takes over. We're panicked, we're stressed, we're on sympathetic nervous system fight or flight overload. We are going to react exactly as our subconscious has been programmed to do, which means the only way to respond in a spiritual way is because you've so completely transformed the very nature of your being that when those things happen, okay, there's a beautiful story that Pooja Swamiji tells of Maharishi Mahesh Yogiji, whose, you know, ashram used to be right here, that today very tragically is called the Beatles Ashram, which just makes me feel so sad for him, that he was this amazingly enlightened master who happened to be the guru of the Beatles, and his entire ashram is now called the Beatles Ashram. But anyway, aside from that, it's a story of Pooja Swamiji was with him when he was still here, I think it was, and his secretary came in and told Maharishiji that one of their people, one of the people who worked with them, had just stolen some enormous sum of money and had run away. Some huge sum of money they had embezzled and now had disappeared. Now you imagine what the head of an organization who was just told that one of their closest people had just stolen this massive amount of money. And Pooja Swamiji said he was very calm. And he got this sad look in his eye and he said, he must have not been meditating. And I love that story, because you can only respond like that when that's become the nature of who you are. Otherwise, what do? You swear, you curse, you're furious, get the police on them immediately. Long before you've had a chance to think about how you're going to react, you've already cursed them out. You've already yelled, your face is already red. And you think how many successful people could be told something like that and respond in that way. That's the definition of success. Because the universe will always act in ways that are not what we want. And so if we keep allowing ourselves to just get bounced around, like the ball in a pinball machine that, you know, somebody's pulled back and it just goes like this across the walls, and well, then what have we taken birth for? So yeah, you've got to take life seriously or you won't succeed. But you've also got to be really clear about what your definition of success is, lest you end up spending your entire life running after something that you realize didn't matter, and when it's far too late, you realize you've been, you know, arranging the deck furniture on the Titanic.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Alec Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with inspiration and transformation. Don't put the remote control of your happiness in the world's hands. So, the way to stay joyful is to find a way for the joy to come from within. If my joy is 100% dependent upon watching my favorite show on TV, well, then if I live in a place like India where the electricity goes on and off, there are going to be times when while my favorite show is on TV, the electricity goes off and I am miserable, if that's my only source of joy. If my only source of joy is achieving and succeeding by other people's standards in my job, in my workplace, meaning that my boss appreciates me, or that I get some raise or a promotion, I'm never going to be able to be consistently happy, because my boss is also human and may appreciate some things, may not appreciate other things, may see the value in some things, may not see the value in other things. But if I've put my source of happiness in things that are external, I've handed them the remote control. If I want to be in control, then the source of my joy must be from within. So, for example, one way of getting joy is for people to appreciate me. But another way of getting joy is to appreciate other people. Now, that's in my control. I have no control over whether anyone appreciates me, but I have full control over me appreciating others. And so I develop a habit of making sure to appreciate people as much as I can. And I'll tell you something interesting about that. It's a beautiful practice. It's a practice that actually some of the most amazing beings I know do. And it's something that oozes out of their happiness and spreads happiness. A dear, dear friend of mine, Dr. Bruce Lipton, who's a very, very famous, amazing, renowned scientist, author, speaker. Being in his presence is almost embarrassing because he is so full of love and appreciation that you find yourself saying, enough, enough, like stop, stop. It almost feels, you know, we're not used to getting that much appreciation. And so it's a very interesting place even then to be on the receiving end of. But it's an expression of not only his own personal awakening and brilliance, but a personal choice in life to see that which is beautiful, to see that which is worth appreciating. I've seen him appreciate everyone. I mean, it's not just that he does it to me. I've been with him as he does it to everyone. There's a function that happens. End of the function, he's giving the, you know, the sound guy this huge hug and just giving him the most effusive, loving praise of what an expert, amazing sound guy he was. And it's an expression of the beauty of who he is, but it's also a very conscious choice that someone that brilliant has made to live in seeing things that are worthy of appreciation. So if your joy only comes when others appreciate you, you're giving them the remote control. But if instead you can turn it around and say, I am going to commit myself to seeing things that are worthy of appreciation, and to giving that appreciation to people. Not because I'm looking for them to appreciate me in return, but because actually by spreading happiness, which is how everyone feels when they get appreciated, by spreading happiness, we actually feel happier. It's a beautiful secret of life. The more happiness you give, the more happiness you feel. The more love you give, the more love you feel. So figure out ways for your source of joy to be within. You're waiting for the world to love you. You've handed them the remote control. You decide you are going to love the world. That's up to you. And have a very clear understanding of who you are. Journal. Make beautiful lists. Who are you? Aside from the divine, yes, the end of the gyan yogic practice of who am I is essentially I'm soul, I'm spirit, I'm divinity. But I mean even you in this human incarnation, you in that body, this life, who are you? What are your gifts? What are your virtues? What makes you special? Make sure you know what those are. And then keep recognizing them in yourself. So for example, if one of your good qualities that you recognize when you introspect is, you know, I'm pretty generous. I'm a I'm a giving and sharing type of guy. Well, then, every time you share, every time you give, make sure to notice that. Not in ego, not in, oh yeah, look, I'm so great. But just in very beautiful, very valid appreciation of this psyche going through his karmic journey in his human incarnation, doing the very best that he can. And here he is, sharing with others. Isn't that beautiful? And really feel that. Again, not on an ego way, but on just a really true and humble and beautiful way of, wow, yeah, look at that. And then, of course, take that and realize that's the divine flowing through you. As you are giving and serving, essentially what you are doing is opening yourself up to the flow of the universe, because the flow of the universe is giving. Trees give oxygen, water, shade, fruit, fragrance. Rivers give water. I mean, the nature of creation, the nature of nature is to give. And so when you give, recognize, ah, that's the divine universe flowing through me. How beautiful that I was able to open myself up to that. And when you see beauty in others that you appreciate, recognize what you're seeing in them is the soul. Their soul in a different human body, different karmic package, going through a different journey, doing the best it can. And so whether it's on a soul-to-soul level you're seeing them, which is also a very deeply powerful practice, or even on a my psyche going through its karmic journey sees your psyche going through your karmic journey. And you know what? You are doing such a great job. I saw how that guy treated you. That was really obnoxious. But you were so kind. And you were so gentle. I saw that. I see you. That's what everybody wants. We want to be seen. It's why so many of us spend so much of our day saying, listen to me. Right? How many times do we tell somebody, just listen, all right? It's why there's a selfie craze. We're all dying to be seen. Look at me. See me. Acknowledge that I exist. This is what we're all yearning for. And so if you can see another being and let them know that you have seen them, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful gift. And it'll bring you joy.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Alec Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation. First of all, I think that the English translation of demigods, in any case, I mean, we're talking about the devtas, but I don't think demigods, in any case, is a right translation. I mean, it's been decades since I've studied French, but I know that a demi-tasse is half a cup. Like, you can have a cup of coffee, or you can have a demi-tasse, which is half a cup. So whether it means half, whether it means significantly less, when we think of the devtas, we're not thinking of them as half a god, or, you know, a significantly smaller quantity of God. They're manifestations. I mean, there's no sense that the divine incarnations are somehow separate from the supreme reality. They're manifestations of it. And we've been given so many possible manifestations, right? We've been given all of Vishnu's avatars, which according to some lineages are avatars. According to the Krishna Bhakts, he is the supreme reality. What matters most is that we realize, number one, there is nothing but God. That is the core of Advaita philosophy. The core of Vedanta is there is nothing but God. So one of the greatest myths about Hinduism is that it's a polytheistic religion. And when you start talking about crores of gods, obviously that sounds very polytheistic, right? Anything more than one is many, and if we've got hundreds of thousands of them, well, surely that's many. So we must be polytheistic. But we are not. We don't actually believe that there's that many individual gods. We don't even believe that there's just one God sitting somewhere in some capacity, separate from the world he's created. We actually believe there is nothing but God. And so when there is nothing but God, everything is divine. Now, that's at the very core basic truth. We've got within Hinduism two core branches. There's more, of course, but for the sake of a short satsang answer, we'll stick with two branches. And we'll call them the branches of Advaita, non-dual, nothing but God. And then we'll call the other branch the branch of dualism. And the branch of dualism is the branch of bhakti. When I am loving God, I'm loving God as something that is separate from me. So those are the two main branches. However, those belonging to the dualist bhakti tradition, the really deep ones, are aware, deeply aware, that of course there is nothing but God. Of course God is not separate from them. But being in love feels so good. So to love Krishna, or to love Ram, or to love Shiva, or to love the Mother Goddess, for so many of us, feels so good. And yeah, we know it's all one. Yes, I know, but it's almost like, yeah, but I don't want to hear it. Because being in love feels so good. And it's so much easier to be in love if I can hold the beloved as something separate from me. Of course, at the core level, I know I'm one with God. But that juicy devotion of singing God's glories, right? I mean, could you imagine singing just me, 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 me? It doesn't have nearly the ring to it that Hare Krishna does, right? It's so much nicer to sing kirtan. Om Namah Shivaya. Rather than just me, 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 me. It doesn't really ring. Hard to chant to, hard to dance to. But Om Namah Shivaya, Hare Krishna. There's such a beauty in the chanting, in the singing, in the loving. I mean, could you imagine sitting down and anointing yourself and doing your own aarti? Ajeeb lagega. You'd feel very funny, and I think it would be very difficult to generate that level of bhav for God, right? I mean, could you imagine doing your own aarti? Now, that doesn't mean that we don't know that God is in us. We do. But it's so beautiful to be in love. And so, you know, it's interesting when Krishna says the Supreme Reality. But in just another breath, he's extolling the virtues of bhakti yoga. And in another breath, he's extolling the virtues of karma yoga to serve. Well, if all we're talking about is being aware of the Supreme Reality, there's nothing to do. No karma yoga, no bhakti yoga. Then all you've got is Gyan Yoga. But if you read the Gita, he's passionate, ardent, in how much he wants us to practice Bhakti Yoga and Karma Yoga, and how he explains they are one. So, when you think about crores of gods, first of all, really all that means is an infinite number. Okay? It's like saying, you know, I love you to the moon and back, right? Well, what it means is I love you infinitely. It's not like I love you, you know, however many actual kilometers it is to the moon times two. What it means is I love you infinitely. My love knows no bounds. To the moon and back. Like, that's infinite. So when we talk about crores of gods, it's saying God is infinite. Of course. Because since everything is God, you want to worship God in a blade of grass? Go right ahead. You want to worship God in a drop of water? Go right ahead. I mean, Bhagwan Krishna says, however the devotee worships me, I appear to the devotee in that form. Not as long as it's one of these seven. I can do these seven, but I can't do any others. In whatever form means an infinite number of forms. Presumably with, you know, 8 billion people or whatever are up to now, currently alive, plus however many have already died, plus however many are yet to come, we start to border on an infinite number of ways to worship God. So what we're saying is, however the devotee worships me, that's how I appear. So don't get caught up in that. Realize there's the supreme reality. And that supreme reality is manifest in everything. And so whether we are worshiping Bhagwan Krishna, Bhagwan Ram, Shankar Bhagwan, Hanumanji, Ma Durga, Ma Kali, whether we're worshiping Ma Ganga, whether we're worshiping our grandmother or a tree, they're all divine. And so connect with that supreme reality in whatever form you find it most accessible. Yeah. And I think the devtas are here. I think we've got all the stories of the devtas really to teach us. Because in many ways they seem very human in their characteristics and their attributes. Of course they're not, and they've all got divine powers, but right? I mean, there's fighting, and there's jealousy, and there's anger, and there's temper tantrums, and there's all sorts of things that we go through. And I think that we've actually been given, I think our rishis and sages and saints and have given us these beautiful ways of understanding the nature of life, the nature of ourselves, the nature of the universe. Because every one of the stories is something to learn from, right? We read the Puranas and we learn from them. There's always a message, there's always a teaching. It's always a story. And so I don't think it's so much about this is the end of where you're supposed to worship, but it's the awareness that we just keep offering. We keep offering to the divine in the form of Agni, Vayu, Jal, Indra. I mean, wherever we are, right? Just all sorts of different ways to just keep offering, keep offering, keep offering, keep praying, such that every minute, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, becomes an opportunity to offer. But Let your devotion, your bhakti, your prayers go deeper than that and higher than that.
This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week, and I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on Om Times Radio. Thank you.